This is Pam Blinkman. Today's date is April 12, 1973. The time is 7 p.m., and I will be interviewing Mr. Adrian Tacy of Essexville, Michigan. The topic to be discussed is farming.
How old were you when you started farming? When you first started farming?
For myself?
Mm-hmm.
I was 28 when I started for myself.
Did you work with your father?
Yeah, I started working with him right from the time he was a kid up, see.
Uh-huh.
7, 8 years old, he was out in the field eating beets.
How big was your first farm? Or your farm?
Well, I only had 20 acres when I started.
Okay.
Then I bought 40 more and made 60. Then the later years, I got another 40 and made 100.
Okay. How was it when you were first getting started?
It just wasn't very good. There wasn't much money around. That was right in Depression time, just getting over it was. That's when crops weren't worth no money, in other words.
How much were they then?
When we grew tomatoes for the factory, we got $3 for number twos, and I think $7 for the ones, a ton.
Did you have to grade them yourself?
No, the inspector over there inspected them, and then he gave you your grade.
What kind of machinery is used to plant the different crops that you had, like the potatoes and the tomatoes and stuff like that?
Well, when I first started, we had the potato planter with a drawn with the horses, one-row planter. You had to drop the potatoes in the hole, see, as it went around. First tractors came out were the Fordsons and what they call the F-12 with the iron wheels. But the rubber ones come out, I think, in 39, the rubber wheel tractors.
Okay. What other different types of crops did you grow?
Beets, wheat, tomatoes, melons, cucumbers.
Where were all those taken after they were harvested?
Well, most of the garden stuff went to the market.
And how far away was that?
Some went to Flint, some went to Cadillac, all different directions. Bay City.
Did you have any type of tillage systems or irrigation?
Well, I tiled after I got started here. But we irrigated from under the ground, the water, right in the tile, from the ditch right in the bay.
How'd you do that?
We just opened the trap in the ditch and let the water come back in the ditches. That's when the bay was high, but when it was low, you couldn't get no water. But like now, you get all you want and more.
Did you ever have any trouble with floods or droughts?
Well, yeah, we lost crops with the rain. And then dry years, you crop with light.
Did you have any hired help?
We didn't the first start, we didn't hire nobody to mount anything. Well, just to put hot caps on the tomatoes, but afterwards we picked out our own stuff. But now on the potatoes, we hire 5 or 6 boys for about 6-7 weeks to bag them.
Did you have any type of crop insurance?
No, I never have any.
Why?
Well, it's like I said before, say if they got a big failure somewhere and the insurance didn't have enough money to pay it, each farmer ought to have to pay it. That's what they call it, insurance. Well, anyway, I don't know what the name they had for it, but it didn't cover everybody, see. If there wasn't enough money, why, you was stuck.
Did you ever have any experiences with bugs or birds or anything like that bothering the crops?
Potato bugs and flea beetles on the melons.
How'd you get rid of them?
We dusted them. But the melons, you had to take a bag and dust them. We'll only shake some on each hill.
Did you do that every day?
No, just when the bugs come out. And your potatoes, well, you, in the first start, they used to catch them by hand with a pan, knock them in a pan and burn them. Then after a while, they got so they had a 2 gallon cans, see, and they put Farris Green in it, and they carried that and sprayed them. Then in the later years, they come out with one with a one horse with a barrel on two wheels, and you had a pump like a house, a well pump to pump the pressure, and as you went along, you sprayed two rows at a time then. It was a little easier, but you had to keep pumping to keep the pressure up. Mm-hmm. So now, they got, you spray with a tractor now, and then you got 8 rows at a time now with a power takeoff now. You don't work no more, you just sit there and drive it.
What were the prices like at that time for your different crafts, at, like, compared to now?
Well, I'll tell you, in potatoes, in 1932, I was right in the Depression was on, there wasn't many potatoes grown through here, and they got $2 a bushel for them right out of the field, not graded. And now, right now, when the peak of the harvest on here now, you don't get, about, it's about $1.25 a bushel right now when the peak is on. See, it takes 2 bushels for 100 pounds, and if you only, at times they get down to $1.80 to $2 a hundred, so actually at times you're not getting $1 a bushel. And this is supposed to be good times, and in Depression times there's more money, the potatoes were.
Were the prices higher during the Depression because there was a lack of them?
Well, there wasn't as many farmers here around, and the stuff was scarce. There wasn't a quarter of the farmers growing that stuff there is now.
What did you do in the wintertime to occupy yourself? Did you work? Or?
I worked a sugar factory and construction work.
You know what you gotta go through.
Okay.
Well, my great-grandfather, he came out of Canada, see, when he was, they must have came over here in 64.
Yeah.
1864. 1864. We got that wrong. 1864, I mean, see, he's been here about 112 years now or more, right around that.
Did he settle in this same area?
Well, they came out of Canada, yeah, and they came right over here, what they call on Plum Island now. That's where they stopped.
How far is that from here?
About a mile right over the east. But they, I know one of his girls, when they first came, they landed by the cement plant, and they brought their cows and horses right with them. They unloaded out of a boat right over in Edgingsville
mm-hmm.
when they came. All that same family, see.
Do you
want to
go into your family life?
Well, see, like I say, then them old people, when they first started here, they wasn't no farming hardly because the water was too high. They get flooded all the time from the bay. And they mostly went fishing and hunting most of the time. Then they diked their farms in by hand. They dug it all with a shovel, their fields, and then they had pumps to pump the water off, and then they started farming. They didn't farm much ground. Land was cheap, but they still brought a lot of hay for cattle, for grain, you know. That's what they done. Way back, they grew cattle, pigs.
How cheap was the land then?
Well, I know I heard him say he could buy 40 acres over here for $40, $4 an acre, or $160. Mm-hmm. Never had the money to buy it. That's my great uncle I'm talking about. He lived right here where I'm living now. That's where he lived on the last end.
Mm-hmm. What did your parents do for a living?
Well, they started a farm right from the start. And they lived right here for 70 years.
Was their farm very big?
No, they only started out with 20 acres. Then he bought a trash and outfit, and I guess in the wintertime he worked the sugar factory. So they didn't start very fast either. did team horses, that's all. They baled hay in the wintertime, but you don't see no more of that now, no more hay bale.
Okay, could you go into your family life? Like what it was like and stuff?
What you did plant, how'd you...
Well, he planted beans and beets, wheat. They didn't do much gardening until the later years back in 1920 when they started gardening when I was small, see then.
Mm-hmm.
They grew cabbage and onions, tomatoes. That's when they watered, they pumped the water right on top of the ground then, see, for the water, the strawberries and cabbage and onions. If there's any maggots in them, that drowned them all.
How big of a family did you come from?
There was 12 boys and 4 girls.
And you lived in this same area, around in here?
I never moved over 100 rods.
Okay.
As far as I went.
Where was the school at?
About a mile and a half from here.
Did you have to walk every day?
Yeah, we walked.
Did you ever have a little pony or a horse or something like that to ride to school with?
No, nobody. Everybody walked. They never had missed a day going through the snow and right across the fields in the wintertime.
In the winter, did you ice skate to school?
Yeah, well, we never skated to school, no.
Oh.
No. Because, see, you had, there were ditches weren't deep enough then with snow to skate. It was full of snow then, see. Mm-hmm. It ain't like now. You got there, you were glad to get in where it was warm.
Yeah.
The schools were so cold, you're sitting there through the day, the cracks in the through the door, you're gonna freeze your feet on the floor, blowing in.
How many grades would be in that school? It would be like kindergarten through 7th or 8th?
They had from chart class to 4th grade in one room, then they had 5th to the 8th grade in the other room.
And there were 2 different teachers?
One teacher in each room. So each teacher had about, I'd say about 50 kids.
What was this area like when you were here, as far as trees and buildings and things like that?
Well, there was quite a lot of woods around when we went quite a while back. But each farmer, as they kept growing more and more, and they kept cleaning the woods as up, they ain't many left now, they're all gone.
Mm-hmm.
But they dug all the ditches after the later years. I mean, from the time I was small up, all with a dredge then. All these ditches were dug with a grudge.
How about when your parents were here? As far as Bay City or?
Well, they didn't have many ditches then. They were small. And they had trouble with the water too. They had to put dams up along the field to stop it. They'd get flooded. They didn't have pumps like you got now to pump the water out. When you got water, you had it. You know how to get it out of there.
What was Bay City like as a city itself when you were younger? Were there a lot of buildings and stores like this?
Well, yeah, when I was young, Bay City, there was no Kroger and OMPs, nothing. Because I helped build a Kroger store on Center and the one over on Euclid over there. I helped build both of them. That was back in the early 40s. I think that's about now.
AMP store was out in 1930 when I got married from Kenneth.
I have Billy.
And by Billy Brothers was an AMP store.
But see, Kroger and AMP now, they don't buy nothing to farmers no more. That stopped. Everything shipped in. See, that's why the farmers now don't grow so much garden stuff. They can't sell it no more. The big stores, they get it shipped in out of Detroit and come out of the other states. They don't buy from us.
It was all in package, you know.
You got to be packaged, and if you want to sell the Kroger AMP right now, you got to crate it all up and ship it to Detroit and have it shipped back here. So look, it costs that much more money for both ways.
Well, you know why? Mm-hmm. Everybody handles it. They ain't right neither, you know, if everybody goes and pinch it, it's going to be nothing left by the day.
So, they didn't have any AMP or Kroger stores, say in the 1920s and things like that. So how did they sell their
they only
vegetables?
Had, they only I think there's only one big clothing store in Bay City way back, and that was what they call Walter's Department Store. He had a grocery and clothing and everything, so he sells shoes, everything.
Mm-hmm.
That was right on, well, the front of it was out on water, right by Jennison's, and the grocery store comes through the alley by...
Yeah. Yes. Simple liners.
Yeah,
you know,
simple liners right through there.
Mm-hmm.
See, that was all
one big store.
All the farmers went there.
You could go there and get your clothes and groceries and everything.
There wasn't no cereal books
or
nothing.
Store.
Nothing.
That's where all that jam is coming, I told you.
But we, like years way back, we were 100 years back, there wasn't nothing hardly in Bay City.
What did they have for industry or anything like that?
Only industry they had was, they had they had some kind of a salt block over in the south end, but then the most of the place all along the river from the south end right around through all the way to Edgeville was all sawmills, all lumber days, that's all it was.
And they got the lumber from this area?
No, most of it was brought in, see, by... what they done, they brought it by boat in here with logs. They were, they'd give what they call a raft of logs all chained together, and they'd tow them up the river here, bring them right in from through the lakes all over,
mm-hmm.
from all different places. They hauled them up and then they sawed them. That's when they they're all pine most of the time though.
And then now, where did the sawmills sell it? Did they sell it to lumber stores all over?
Well, I don't know if they shipped it out much or what they done, but the average one, I think, just people building here too, see, and all over, but I suppose a lot of it went out on rail afterwards then, but the lumber is so cheap. You only got, I guess, $5-6 a thousand for a good pine. Then as the years went along, when they got up and all cut off, then it started getting more scarce, and the woods are getting cleaned up.
Can you remember, any old stories or funny incidents that happened? That your mother or grandparents or uncles or somebody told you?
I used to do it to the teacher, because I wouldn't be fit to put on it.
What?
I used to tease the teacher. I said, well, I wouldn't be awful to put that on it.
We didn't tell. We don't
know.
No,
don't be foolish.
Oh, tell about the fire then, okay?
The fire when we was home? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, the house burned up when I was 14. It was on a Sunday night. And we were all sleeping up there, see, and the two older brothers and my sister, they were coming home about 11:30 or so, and when they smelled smoke when they got there, well, then the house was burning. And they broke the window in the front upstairs. He woke us up, and all the younger ones had just dropped them out the window, and they caught them all. There was a... Well, it wasn't about 15 minutes, that house just fell in. It burnt that fast when it got air and it broke the windows. That's all they took out of the house was an old Victorola record one. They still got it today yet.
Really?
It was right by the door, and they just shoved the front door in, and they got a hold and they dragged that out. It's the only thing they saved out of that house. The old man had to buy all new shoes next day. I think about 15 pair of shoes. They go to town. Us kids, some went to Ants and stayed and all over till they got another building built. But see, the weather was getting warm though then.
Mm-hmm. Was that in the spring or summer?
May the 18th.
How long did it take them to build the second house?
Oh, about a month, I guess. I think they built it in August.
Oh. Did they have a lot of help from neighbors or anything? Or just
No, he hired a carpenter by the name of Van Dusen to build it. At that time, they didn't help. But years before that, when they had bees or something on a raise a barn, like about 25, 30 neighbors all come and help, all free. They'd have probably a keg of beer or something, and that's what they had for a bee. They put a barn in. They put a whole barn in one day,
mm-hmm.
the whole gang.
Can you remember your grandparents telling about things like that?
Oh, yeah. I remember that good myself.
Them?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. They built the barns.
Did you ever help?
Yeah, I was old enough to help build barns there already then. Well, I had a cousin live right across the field over here. He had an old log barn. I don't know how many years old that was. And so he had a bee to put his barn up, see. And so they had the barn up, but they didn't have all the boards on the roof, see. And they had the rafters up. And I think it was early in the spring, the last part of March or so. And a week looked like this one night. And he was going out in the morning to milk the cow, and he walked right by the barn he put up. And he don't know, he'd come out of the barn, he seen his little kid looking in the window. So he looks alongside him, his barn is blew down. He never blew down tonight. Flattened it right out, and the man never had nothing. Boy, it was hard for him to put that barn back up. Never seen a barn down. So
I bet he couldn't have looked at his barn, at his new barn he got up.
Yeah, like I was telling you, my dad got hurt with the thrashing outfit when he was, I don't think he was about 32 years old when he, right down on the corner, right down 25, where he fell through the ditch through a wooden bridge with a steam engine. Got his leg pinner cut off, and them days you went down the buggy. Horse and buggy. So you know how far your road is, about 8 miles to the hospital, and if you're bleeding, you bleed. That's all there's to it. But it took him a year and a half to get over that to walk. So you know what a life he had for a year and a half. Nobody to do the farming. The kids, my older brothers, they were just about big enough to drive the horses then. You see, I was only about 2 years old at that time. That's 60 years ago. He still lived to 85, he did. That didn't kill him.
That's pretty good.
Never was sick in his life, but I think he smoked too much, and he got cancer of the lung. Mm. I think that's what done it. That's why I guess he never let us smoke. We're lucky, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the hard work she done her young days, see, well, even before I was born, her age. They never had nothing up to date. No ice box or no nothing. Them days, you had an old ice box in the basement, and you had to cut the ice out of the vein and put the ice out and cover with sawdust so it didn't thaw. And whenever you put a chunk in that ice box, I'd say about 50, 60 pounds or more. And on that melt, you go get another chunk in there to keep your milk cool. And if you had any meat in there, see, it wouldn't keep long, but as you use it, so in other words. Then they had no wash machines. They'd have to scrub them clothes all by hand on a washboard with a wash tub. And they didn't buy clothes much in days. They just took the old ones and cut them up and sewed them over for the younger ones. But the old ones wore them out, they took as good of them. They ain't no clothes like now.
And they had no bathrooms in the house. They had one outside, you could imagine.
Nobody had them them days. Nobody. Nobody had them.
Maybe put a sign on the door. If it's open or closed, if somebody was in there, it must have been awful. They should have had three there.
When you ate, did you all sit at one table?
Yeah.
For supper?
Well, she had a big kitchen.
She had a big kitchen. I think it was.
And that's why I wanted Adrian to take us there today to show her old house.
The kitchen is about 18 foot square, I believe.
Oh, that's a
pretty
big
close.
One.
Oh, big kitchen. Yeah.
And one big long table.
Did you have chairs or benches sit on?
By the wall, and a bench.
They had benches. You remember
them?
Well,
yeah. See, when the table always sat towards the wall like that, and they had a bench on one side for 5, 6 to sit on or 7, mm-hmm. and the rest of the chairs all around.
Did she ever have any help with like the cooking and washing? Did she did it all?
No. Just as the girls grew up and got older, they helped, see?
Mm-hmm.
No, we never had no help. No, she'd make her own bread lots of times and didn't last long in this game.
I can imagine.
They don't eat like kids today.
Why don't you tell her about the candy which you used to make when they were gone? Theodore.
That wouldn't be much good for her though, like that.
The minute my God, their folks would go away, they'd want to make a batch of candy, see, and they went to grab the vanilla. And what'd you get into the turban?
He got turban back there.
Turban time that candy.
Did you go ahead and make it like that?
Yeah, it was too late.
Days,
you put that in the last thing.
Days, they never
vanilla,
used to,
you know, your candy.
They ever bought candy them days. They made it all at home like mm-hmm. that. They'd make candy.
Made your ice cream?
sugar, then they buy sugar about 100 pounds in days. They burn the burlap sack, 400 pounds at a time. Really, and lots of sugar.
Did you guys eat that candy?
Oh yeah, not with certain times.
Ooh.
I bet you did.
When did you find out it was turpentine?
When they went to eat it.
I bet you could smell it. That's an awful smell.
I know.
An odor, sure. Am I getting hit to clean paint brushes? What do they use that for?
Yeah, clean paint stuff off.
Paint thinner or something.
Ooh. Oh, that's the next
one. When for potatoes for the winter, even to sell, they kept till spring. They'd just take and they'd put some what they call prairie hay on the ground, mm-hmm. where the ground was a high spot where the water wouldn't lay. Then you put the potatoes in a nice pit. Well, maybe have a pit 20 feet long or longer and about 5-6 feet wide and maybe 4 feet high. But then you'd cover that with hay about 2-3 inches. Then they'd put a layer of straw and manure and pack straw that tight. So it wouldn't freeze. Then they cover it all with ground. You'd have to put ground enough on top so it wouldn't go through that frost. Mm-hmm. Then in the spring of the year, you'd take all that dirt off and pick the potatoes up. That's where how they kept their seed too, see, for the spring.
Where would the seed be?
In that pit. Mm-hmm. Come on, that pit. Cover them up. Take them out early in the spring, long in April. Pick them all back up again by hand.
Must have been a job.
I guess it was a job.
Terrible cutting the corn. I used to cut that.
Yeah, the corn, them days they never had a binder. There wasn't many around. The one I did have, they could afford it, but the other farmer couldn't afford to get it cut, so you had to take it and cut it all by hand. Some of them, you tied it up and put in shocks. Then you'd haul up the barn, stack it, and then you'd turn around and husk it by hand, most of it, for all the corn for the pigs, the ears. But that's years way back. That's going back 60 years, and then when I was young too, I'd done that all the time. See?
And the sugar beets, you pull them by hand?
The beets, you pull them all by hand, top them all. Then they used to haul them out of the field in a big pile and cut them up at the tops. They weren't supposed to freeze them. That was in the early years before I ever done any beet work. Then they haul them all over here to Ethicville, wagons, horse and wagon, the beet factory. I load them all by hand, load them all up by hand. They'd stand about 2 days with a load of beets over there, though. And it was cold, late in the fall. They'd have to take blankets and cover the horse up, so if it rained, they didn't get all wet standing there. They'd freeze the horse with them. They didn't get much for them beets either.
How about other crops like cabbages and cucumbers and things like that? How'd they harvest those?
Well, that was all hand labor. Cucumbers, you picked them by hand, the cabbage, you cut them and bushel them up and carry them out and put them on the truck. You at the end?
Mm-hmm.
I bet it ain't you.
No.
Well, see this, you got
about that railroad track? Sure shit. I don't mean you got out there that night.
Yeah, but she hasn't got on yet,
I don't know.
Well, I know they had a toll bridge over where Cass Avenue was, and it was a plank bridge all the way to Bay City built. And anybody wanted to go to town on that bridge, they had to pay 10 or 15 cents to travel that bridge. Because the roads here, there were no gravel in here, no pavement, no nothing. It was all mud. You couldn't go through with a wagon hardly. Mm-hmm. Then when they got the railroad in here, going right through here, along 25 into Bay City, well, you could go right down over there and get right on the station and take the train right to town for 15 cents. I remember that. Well, see, my grandfather came here, it must be 130 years or more back. And when he came, he said there's only a couple houses in Bay City and only a street through, Third Street was a street. And then in the wintertime, they take a sleigh and pull by hand. They go to Saginaw and get their flour. Mm-hmm. There wasn't no stores here to buy from. And then after he got settled here, why they used to fish right out in front out here with nets. And they'd walk all the way from Banks out over here in the ice and lift them nets. And them days there were so many fish, their nets, they never emptied. They were full of fish all the time. The sturgeon was so thick, they're just like you're catching perch now when the perch are in.
Mm-hmm.
Now them weighed a height 120, 30 pounds or more, sturgeon did. They kill them off to get rid of them. They'd break their, tear their nets all up, the sturgeon would. They'd haul them to shore and pile them up and burn them. Dry, let them go.
Was there a lot of fishing around here for an industry?
Well, there was Ezekiel, I don't know how many boats would go out of there in the spring. Oh, there must have been, I'd say, 30 or 40 or more commercial fishermen in the early 30s,
mm-hmm.
in the 20s. That's all they've done for a living. The more the ice go out of the bay, they go and set their nets for the walleye pickerel, see.
And then in the wintertime, they do a lot of fishing too, I think.
They set nets through the ice in the winter, see. But fish was, in the wintertime, it's all they got then would be suckers and a few a pickerel. It wasn't, they didn't get no perch much in the winter. But the Ezekiel was heavy commercial fishing, awful heavy. Then as the, a lot of they said chemical got in the water, whatever it was, and it kept, the fish just kept...